Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12. Now this chapter is in the context of gifts, the diversity of gifts. We're looking at verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Right there, God just lets us know that the racial tensions that we see out in the world are brought together in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ solves that. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus, within the church, that is to be solved. That's not to be exploited. That is to be solved. Whether they be bond or free, so no matter their social status, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the ground is truly level at the foot of the cross and truly equal within the church. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not on the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, unto these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. We cover them up. Our uncomely parts, we give them more abundant dressing, okay, is the idea. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath done what? He tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps on governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. We're going to read the rest of that, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13 in a moment. But let's ask God's blessing together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the country that you've placed us in. Lord, we don't idolize our country, but we want to steward it. We want to do well as you've placed us here. Lord, I think about that man from Ethiopia that's walking about our capital, giving out tracts, burdened for the souls of our nation. Help us to have that same burden for the souls of our community and the souls of our nation. May we have a burning desire that our countrymen would come to know you, just like Paul prayed for Israel. So help us, Lord. And then, Lord, you've put us in this body. Thank you. Thank you for making us a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in this local church. And we pray that you'd help us to be effective and successful pleasing members in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing so very much. As we come together tonight, I want us to remember that Paul is writing this first letter to a church just like you and I, Corinth, and he's writing to them because they had problems. How many churches have problems? All churches have problems, right? Every church has its issues, and Corinth very much had its issues. They're known for that. And as Paul planted them on the second missionary tour, let's bring up the map here tonight. He planted this on the second missionary journey. He's come down the into Achaia, and he's spent some time there. You remember Aquila and Priscilla for several months. He was there tent making, and he was doing some part time work in order to fund himself. And then they brought down the offering from the churches in Macedonia, and Paul was encouraged in the spirit to just follow after preaching Christ there in Corinth, and many wonderful things happened there. But it's interesting how that as Paul moved on and he sailed over to Ephesus and spent just a little bit of time there, he began to hear word that there were some problems back there in Corinth. And so he began to write this first letter back to Corinth to deal with these members who had been saved not for 15 years, but really, in reality, have been saved for less than 2 years. And so he's writing back to them to encourage them to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't have to be saved very long in order to be encouraged to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is doing. He's laying it out for them. And so the reality is Paul is dealing with some weighty issues. Now, how many of you realize that the old life, the old man likes to hang on, right? We deal with that every single day. The old man likes to hang on. Paul said that in Romans chapter number 12. The good that I would, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, I do. And so that's the battle that's going on. Well, that's what's going on with the Corinthians. The old life is hanging on. The old divisions, the hostilities, the lack of peace that goes on among the wicked, well, they were continuing to walk in that. They're walking according to flesh. In fact, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And I want us to notice this, what Paul said. He says, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, those that were yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, but as carnal, they were being flesh driven, even as unto babes in Christ." He's talked about feeding them with milk. He couldn't feed them with meat. Verse number 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you," and are you all there? Read with me. "Among you, envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not yet carnal and walk as men?" He says, there's a bunch of divisions among you. So Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers because there's divisions, because there's fractures in the church. They're coming to church to sing "How Great Thou Art," and they're not wanting to talk to the person down the pew from them. There's fractures, there's divisions among them, and they're not handling them well. So that's the context. It was written in 50 to 51 AD, and Paul is just simply writing to these Corinthian believers, encouraging them to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow after him. Do what he says to do. Obey his word. Walk as a disciple. Walk as a committed follower of Jesus Christ. And so as I speak to mainly believers tonight and to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this local assembly, I want to just encourage us to take the lessons that Paul is giving to the Corinthian believers and apply them into our lives. Listen, can our church have divisions? Yes or no? Yeah. Do we want that to be the case? No. If there are we walking spiritually or fleshly? Yeah. So we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk according to the Spirit of God. And so may the Lord help us to do this. I want us to notice, first of all, verses 12 through 20. Let's notice our placement into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice there in verse number 12? "For as the body is one and hath many members," and it goes on in verse 14, "the body is not one member, but many." It's talking about it's very diverse, and there's many members a part of it. It's one body. We call this the body of Christ. And we understand that the church, most of the time when it's referenced in Scripture, is referring to a local assembly, a local expression of the body of Christ, is how I'd like to say it. And so here we are, we refer to it as a body, but we're many members. There's many diverse members. And the Bible helps us to understand that it was God that set us into the body. One member,
One body, many members. There are many differences. We're not all the same. That's the reality. And we need to understand that. But it's God that has placed us in the body. Look at verse number 18. But now hath God, and what's that word? Help me out. Verse 18, look at it with me. But now hath God set. Set. Now that's an interesting word. I've worked construction before. And when you are pouring some concrete and getting ready to set a post, and you put the post down in there, and you put the concrete around it, and you make sure it's level and it's all good and in shape. Why? Because that thing is going to be set there. It's going to be put in its place. You know what God says about you and me as members of His body, of the body of Christ? That God Himself has set us there. Now, this word set has the idea to appoint, to give a duty, to assign a duty, a responsibility, an obligation that God has given to us. Now think about that. Do you see yourself here at Grace Baptist Church as having been appointed and set here by God? That's what he's telling the Corinthian believers. Hey, friends, you've been set there in the church. Now, we live in a day that we're many years from the church there in Corinth. When the believers were gathering there in Corinth, there wasn't 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 105th Baptist Church in town. It was the church at Corinth. And I just want us to understand, Paul was saying to these believers there in Corinth, hey, God has put you in that body. God has placed you there. He has a particular purpose for that. Verse number 13 tells us, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free? How do we get here? As we place faith in Jesus Christ. We often call it spirit baptism, or where we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what water baptism reflects or typifies. And so we've been placed there by God. Acts 2 and verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added about 3,000 unto the church. Later in that chapter, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord did what? Added unto the church daily such as should be saved. God adds to his church. God sets in his church. Do you see yourself as having been placed here by God? Do you recognize that reality? God doesn't willy-nilly just put people wherever, just kind of scatter them out. God has a purpose for putting you in the body. And I'm thankful for that. Gives us a sense of purpose. But it's not just that God placed us here. God placed us here individually. Individually. There's the idea of just being a number, just being kind of a part of a group. God didn't, just assign you, that group goes over there, these numbers, all the odd numbers go over here. Now, God knows where he's placed you. He's placed you individually. Look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, and let's read the next four words together. Every one of them, one more time, every one of them in the body. Every one of them. Not some of them. Not just the best, not just the least, every one of them. Not the ones who have nothing in their background, right? Every one of them. Not just the ones like Paul, but the Thomases too, right? Every single one of them. The ones full of faith, the ones that have doubt, the ones that struggle. Every single one of them, God has set them in the body. He has appointed them. He has given them a duty. He's given them an obligation. And he goes on to typify that or to illustrate that via the human body. Feet, ears, eyes, right? He set them in the body. Aren't you all thankful you have eyes tonight? Feet, you got with feet, right? Aren't you thankful? God has set every member in the body just like our physical body parts are there. Now, in setting them, he gave us all spiritual gifts. He gave us a gift to employ in the body. We're going to touch on that in another message, but I do want to highlight or overview the gifts just by reading the passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Let's turn there together. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6. Spiritual gifts are special endowments, the grace of God upon us, as Ephesians chapter 4 says. to be employed in service within and to the Christian community, within the church. You have a gift that God has set you in the body to use for His glory. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 6. When you get there, say amen. Romans 12 and verse number 6. All right, very good. Let's read together here. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So here we have the different gifts that God by His Holy Spirit has given to each member of the body to function in the body. You might think tonight, I don't have a gift with which to serve God here. You do. The Holy Spirit has given it to you. It's there in black and white. God has given you something. Your job is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, discover that gift, and to deploy that gift and ministry within the body for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God has set every member in the body. And if He has done that, then every member is important. You are important. No one can say, I just don't have a place. Every member is important. Now, we all need to believe that. It's another thing for me to declare that. It's and quite another thing for us to all agree together that every member around us is important to this assembly. They're going to differ from you. That's okay. Every member is important. I want us also to notice that we have been placed according to God's pleasure. The rest of verse number 18, it says, as it hath pleased Him. We live in a consumeristic day, do we not? Well, I'm gonna select that church because it has this program and these times and this schedule and this facility and these opportunities, etc. We live in a consumeristic time. It's like going sometimes to a McDonald's drive-thru. You know, the smorgasbord of church in our country, right? That is so the American mindset, the consumeristic mindset. So we have to abandon that. We have to stay away from that. Realize that God has placed me here as it's pleased Him. I think back to when we came here in 2007, God placed us here. He closed the door in one area of the country and He set us here. We came as members. We began to serve and be a part of what God was doing here. I served as a Sunday school teacher and served in just wherever, whatever ways. Got involved in VBS. I remember still that VBS were early on, the wagon, Pioneers and Prairie Dogs, and Brother Dennis was running the skit for that one, and I remember him having there was an arrow shot, and I remember back here there was a tree, and he had some sort of trick that it looked like an arrow actually flew, and it flung out. I can still remember and hear that sound, and we've been through a lot here since 2007, a lot of the things, but you know what, God, I know this, that God clearly closed doors and said, you're here. But He doesn't just do that for me. Like, I didn't know. I was just telling someone ahead of the service. I didn't know that the Lord was going to have me pastor here. God set me here. God has set you in the same way here. He has you here for a particular purpose, for His pleasure, as it hath pleased Him. Do you think that God is pleased when someone comes to Jesus Christ, yes or no? Yes. Do you think that God is pleased when someone finds himself a part of a local body of Christ, a local expression of the body of Christ, and is serving in that body? Yes. Yes, He is. He's pleased when we acknowledge, Lord, thank you for placing me here. I'm going to serve here for your glory and for the edifying of this local assembly. Praise the Lord. And so you're placed here, and you serve here for the pleasure of God. Not for our pleasure, not to make us feel good, but for His pleasure. And the real challenge is making sure that we keep that focus, right? I'm here for God. Turn over to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. And let's just correlate this with the praises that are surrounding the throne. Revelation 4 and verse number 11. Revelation 4 in verse number 11. And I beheld, And I heard a voice, many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all them that are in them heard, saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne forever, unto the Lamb forever and ever." The Bible also says in Revelation, "For his pleasure we were created." I got the wrong verse. Verse number 4, chapter 4. Where was I? It was good reading. We'll just go on until we found that. Verse number 11, "Thou art worthy." Let's read it together. You're all there. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." There it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the reality. You and I were created for his pleasure, and he says he's placed you into this body for his pleasure. And we must believe that and walk in that. So our placement is by God, but there's differences. There's differences in the body. And this passage of Scripture does much to announce that there are real differences between us. Every one of us think different. Every one of us are gifted in a different way. It doesn't take long to realize, hey, there's some differences. Notice these differences, according to verse number 21 to 23, are not to be despised. These differences are not to be despised. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of thee." Can you imagine if your body started doing that? "I have no need of you." Foot, you know, run off, take a hike. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What a great animation that would be. Can you imagine that scene? Yet sometimes within the body of Christ, we can feel that way towards one another. "We don't need you." And that ought not be the case. But that's what was going on inside of Corinth. There were these tensions that were developing, these divisions, and they were treating each other as no one would want their body to act. "I don't need you." Now, we might not say it, but friends, I'll tell you, when we don't value one another, when we don't value one another, thank one another, give gratitude to one another, how does the other person realize? How does the other member of the church realize, hey, they think I'm needed here too? We need to allow the Lord to strengthen our gratitude towards one another, our statements to one another of, hey, you're needed. I'm thankful for you. You're a part of this. We need you. We couldn't do this without you. And to strengthen our heart towards one another in the way. The differences should not be despised in any way. Those that are different from me in verse number 21 should not be despised. Those that are more feeble, verse number 22, should not be despised. There are going to be weaker believers. There are going to be those that are struggle maybe in their conscience, as the Bible speaks about. They might struggle a little bit more. They might just be weaker in general. But the Bible says they are not to be despised. Those that are less presentable are not to be despised in any way. Verse number 23, we are to have a heart for everyone. We're to value everyone, not despise the differences. We should learn to delight in our differences. You know, in an army, not everyone has the same rank, right? There's differences. You have different roles. You can't despise that. Not everyone is the one that goes charging in the battle. Not everyone's the one carrying the guns. There's some that stay behind and have to make sure that the communications are up. There's support. There's different parts, but none of the differences should be despised. They're all a part of the making it happen, and so it should be within the church. Our differences also ought not to divide. They can, but they ought not to divide. Look at verse number 24. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Notice that. Why? Verse number 25, that there should be no schisms in the body. What Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers is, listen, these differences that we're enunciating right now, They can divide, but they shouldn't. God has put you together so that you would not have schisms. Now, let's break down these words. The word tempered is the idea that God has put us together. He's compounded us together. He's mixed us together. He's made us a unified whole by mixing and combining different parts. My daughter this morning was making a delicious dressing for broccoli salad. How many of you love broccoli salad? You would love this broccoli salad. It's good. But nonetheless, she was making this and she was mixing it up and she had to wait for the sugar to dissolve before she poured it over the broccoli salad that we were going to have for lunch. And she was mixing this up. I'm glad that she took time to mix it up, that she didn't just throw the ingredients on top and say, well, you know, whatever. No, God mixes us together. He tempers us. And the idea is every part of that recipe is needed in order to give a delightful end. Every part that God puts together within the body is needed. He tempers it. He makes us interdependent upon each other. He puts us together. He makes us a compound together. This is something that God has decided to do. God did not intend for our differences to divide us. He intended for our differences to unite us, to bring us together for a common goal. And that common goal is the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that there be no schism. That's just the word for divisions, where there becomes factions. There was factions in Philippi. He says, I don't want there to be schisms. I want you all to realize I've put you there together for to do and accomplish my purposes. I have a purpose for you. I put you together. I don't want schisms to be there. So here's my encouragement to us. We can either let our differences cause division, or we can appreciate the differences and allow them to bring us together. Now, it's interesting. They say opposites attract, right, in marriage? But isn't it oftentimes the differences that begin to annoy us as we get further away from the wedding day? You can talk, right? Yeah. Right? Even in friendships, it happens, right? Differences, opposites, kind of, you know, run with one another. But it becomes the differences that, like, man, that's just annoying. Stop doing that. And you know that can happen within a church body. If we don't realize the differences are there for a purpose, to serve God's goal and to serve His pleasure, we can allow those differences to begin to divide. And we see that happen inside of marriages where something that used to bring you together now divides you. God says, no. I don't want there to be schisms in the church. I've put you together. I've mixed you together. Your differences are important. Salt and sugar are different. But in some recipes, they're both needed. And they have a purpose. They serve a purpose. Now, you take salt. Sometimes my little girls will pour salt out. I like salt. Sometimes they'll pour salt out and they'll get a whole lot. Hey, salt on its own sometimes can be a real problem. But together, in perfect mix, as God's doing the mixing together, it's right, it's appropriate, it's good. And so much of the friction that can happen between believers within a church comes from unappreciated differences. May God help us to look at one another and appreciate the differences. Not to try to rise above one another, but just simply say, thank the Lord for that brother. Thank the Lord for that sister. Thank the Lord for the differences they bring into this body. So our placement, our differences. But notice in verse number 27, what's the first word there? Verse number 27, now. Now, let's bring this all to a conclusion. How do we do this? God's placed us here. We're different. Now, how in the world do we have unity? There's the million-dollar question, right? How in the world do we have unity? And the reality is, we must, when it comes to unity, see ourselves as the body of Christ. See ourselves as one. God has put us together. As different as we are, God has put us together. We see ourselves as Christ's body. Notice verse 27. Let's read it out loud together. Ready, begin. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul brings it down to this. Now, all right, Corinthian believers, Just realize this, you're the body of Christ. You mean Corinth with all of its problems? Yes. Do you remember when he first started writing to Corinth, the first verse, he calls them saints? Yes, you're the body of Christ. You've been set apart unto me. The church has problems, but you're a part of the church too. And God says, you're a part of this. And we must see ourselves as a part of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. One of my favorite verses in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, is verse number 16. And he says this, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what the picture is? God has said, hey, you're all one. You're all one. I'm speaking the truth in love so that you might grow up into Christ. And it's from him that he's brought this whole body together. He's put you in. You're a joint. You're another joint. You're a part. You're a living, breathing part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to see ourselves as the body of Christ. We don't need to see ourselves as all the different members and all of our differences. We need to see ourselves. God has placed me here in this body, in this local expression of the body of Christ. Verse number 28, we need to desire excellent gifts in the body. Now this one really challenged me, and I want to challenge you with it. Because sometimes we look around the body and we don't have this happening and we need this to happen. You know it's not wrong for us, according to Scripture, to desire earnestly, to covet after earnestly, to have a strong desire that excellent gifts would be added by God into his church, into his body. You know, the reality is that our church has needs, just like any other church, but our church has needs. And here we find in verse number 28, and God has set some in the church, and he talks about these different gifts, and then he brings it all down in verse number 31, but covet earnestly the best gift, excellent gifts. Ask God to bring those gifts into the body. Desire earnestly to be zealous about this, to ask God to do that. One man said, he is saying that the assembly, as an assembly, they should desire to have in their midst a good selection of the gifts that edify. You know, I don't believe that God brings anyone, that saves anyone and adds them to our body, brings anyone into our body by accident. But you know what? We can pray. We can ask God. You know what I was saying in the VBS, the Adventure Camp meeting? We need to pray for additional individuals that drive CDL or have CDL. We need that. That's a gift. You could call that the feet, right? They move the body. They move things along. But we can pray for God to add gifts to his body. Do you see that? Covet earnestly the best gifts. Is the idea. Ask God to add to his body, and we can pray for that, and we ought to. And notice in verse number 31, as we bring this to a close, exercise your gifts in love within Christ's body. I want us just to realize all of this really falls apart without this final statement. If the Corinthians do not get this final statement, if they do not get this final idea, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. You can realize God's placed you here. You can realize there's differences. And you can realize there's a need for unity. But without the next thing that Paul's saying, it all falls apart. The reality is without love in our service, without showing the love of Christ to one another, everything falls apart. And he goes on in verse number chapter 13 and verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I want you to read that next phrase with me. And have not charity, continue on, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, let's read together, and have not charity, I am nothing. Interesting. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, let's read, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here's the idea. I can have all the gifts. I can be different. I can be a part of this body. God can place me here. But if I do not have charity and exercise my gift with charity within the body of Christ, it really causes problems. You know, love, as the Bible goes on here, it doesn't vaunt itself. Well, I'm better than you. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Did you see what they did? It rejoices in the truth. It always exalts the truth. And the Bible goes on in 1 Corinthians 13 and gives us a list of what love looks like. That's how we are to serve within the body. We often use that for marriage as a passage of Scripture to encourage husbands and wives to love one another. But friends, it's written in the context of the church loving one another and serving one another. We are to serve in love. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 13. Galatians 5 and verse number 13. Without love, we're noisy. Without love, we're nothing. Without love, we're of no profit to the body. Love will change everything. And notice what the Bible says here, Galatians 5 and verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Oh, praise God, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. Right? I am free. I've been set free to please him. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Well, I can do what I want. We hear a lot of that going on in the world around us, even among Christians. I can do what I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. Right? We kind of bristle with our freedom. The freedom that Jesus Christ gave to us is freedom to please him. Amen? And when we're pleasing him, we'll be at peace with one another. But he says, don't use it as an occasion to the flesh, as an opportunity for the flesh to act out. But by love, serve one another. Let's say that together. But by love, serve one another. So God wants you and I to take our gifts, our differences, and to, in love, serve the body so that it might be edified, so that it might grow up in Jesus Christ. We all have a part, every single one of us. And we need to value one another and the differences. God's placed us here. Thank him. Praise him. He's placed us here. We have differences, and he wants there to be unity. Unity comes as we are serving him. We see ourselves as part of the body of Christ. We're serving him and one another in love. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something sweet about a church that values one another. There's something sweet about a body of believers that appreciates the gifts and what one another brings. Not highlighting all the differences, not trying to be a nitpicker, right? Not trying to get in, find the little things, but loves one another and values one another. Let's be that type of church. Let's be the type of church that values one another and just loves each other in that way. And God can greatly move us forward. You're a gift to the body. God has placed you here. You're a gift to this body. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You can look to one another. Say, you're a gift to the body. Look to someone near you and point at them. You're a gift to this body. Right? As different as you are, you're a gift to this body. Amen? That's the reality. Praise the Lord. He's fit us together. And friends, let's not stop believing God for great things in the days ahead. We're here for a purpose. We're here to win souls. And it has been encouraging to me to see God saving people and bringing people. And let's just continue to seek after him, value each other. A team that's infighting or divided isn't going to go very far, right? But a team that realizes, I'm not the quarterback, you know, and I'm not going to go any further than that on sports analogies, okay, friends? But realizing the differences, we realize the differences, and we realize it's a part of making us strong for him. So let's value one another tonight. And I'm just going to ask us to do this. Why don't we just end tonight with taking some time to pray that God would keep us strong, that God would protect us from differences and divisions, that God would help us to appreciate one another. And so I'm just going to divide us up tonight, a little different for our Sunday night, but just divide us up, and let's just take just a moment to pray together. Maybe divide up into groups of two or three, and this isn't necessarily have to be men with men, women with women, just groups. So let's stand up. This is how we're going to close tonight. We're going to pray that God would help us to apply this, to value one another, to love one another, to go forward for his glory even in this week, and to be strong for him. So find a group to pray with.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.